Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of African Americans Ain't Africans, the talk show that proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that the so-called African American didn't find his way to America in the trunk of a ship. I'm your host, the Indigenous One. And tonight we're going to be interviewing Gabriel Rich. Gabriel Rich is a brother that puts out some Bombay information that I think, and a lot of us at African American think, you know, should be in the mainstream of what's going on in America. These voices should be heard, because a lot of times our voices are being muted and nobody says anything. None of the representatives, teachers, none of the people who should be looking out for our interests are looking out for them. As a matter of fact, I can point out in many areas where those same people are putting us on the auction block again. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today with this net neutrality thing that's going on. And many of you may have seen Byron Allen in the news talking about it. Now, he made some very good points about net neutrality and what it means for us. And those points I want to hit upon because they're very important to us. I was talking to a brother this morning, and he was saying that a lot of people are saying that 95% of the population is brain dead. And when you look around and you see what's going on in the communities, and I'm going to share one of these stories with you in a minute. You see what's going on. I mean, how can you argue with them? The things that are going on, we're trying to maintain life and to keep life and try to make life brighter for all of us. Some of the things that the African American does defies logic. Not only does it defy logic, most people are with it. Most people champion it on. And I'm sure everybody heard the story of the little girl this week in Birmingham, Alabama called Cupcake. Really? This is what we do? So we're going to talk about and bring this to the forefront so we'll know, you'll know what's happening in Washington, D.C., because I just don't want everybody to get stuck on what Trump is doing, what the media gives you. You got to go, you got to dig yourself, and we want to bring some of this information out so you can dig it out yourself. So, Gabriel Rich, thank you for joining African Americans this morning. Thank you. Thank you.
What's up, Book? What's going on, bro?
Oh, man, everything is cool, man. I just wanted to have you on so we can hear your voice on some of the things that are going on, you know, out here today that I'm sure bothers you. You know, you're looking at it side eye and you're like, what the hell is going on? So,
well,
more like
what the fuck is going on, but yeah, I get your
No, you're right. So tell the audience a little bit about you and how you got to the position that you are, you know, how you see the world today.
You know what? Prior to, you know, coming back to my Amerindian heritage, man, you know, I was Afrocentric, like a lot of us was, but at the same time, I couldn't fully buy into everything that was being told to me. Not to mention the story started changing. You know, we went from being, you know, having 10 million Africans shipped over to all of a sudden then it's 40 million. Then they threw 100 million over the, you know, in the water. The sharks are following the ship, you know, stuff like that. It didn't make any sense. So I checked out one of your videos, and props to Niecy Lachelle because she hipped me on to you. And one day I thought about something that hit me strong when I was a kid after watching Roots. And I said to my big mom, you know, big mom, you know, this explains it. We're from Africa. She looked at me like she wanted to knock me out the door, you know what I'm saying, and told me, boy, we ain't from Africa. You know, we from right here. Now, that woman was born in 1908. Her father was, and she's one of 13 children, the youngest of 13 children. So her father was born in the 1870s. You know what I'm saying? So she would know. And thinking about it, ain't none of the elders I know when I was a kid, some of them who were born in the late 19th century when I was a little kid, ever told me anything about Africa. Then you start to think about the fact that none of the foods we ate, you know, I don't think jollof rice, peanut stew, and fufu was on anybody's plate when we were kids. So if this is the case, then how can we be from Africa yet we don't have any of the customs? So after you ask those questions, you have to then try to do the research to find out what the deal is. And when you do, the result can be startling for someone who really believe that they came from Africa. But for someone like me, it just all made sense.
I think when you say a important piece, when you say when you start to think about it, and
yeah,
you know, it's going back to what the brother was saying. He was like, man, 95% of us are brain dead. It's like we don't take the time to think and ponder, you know, what our whole existence is about.
True.
So that's true. What I'm finding interesting, and that's why I wanted to have you on. to talk about this new this net neutrality. Now, before we get started, can you give the people who's listening and the people who will hear this what net neutrality is? Could you explain what that is?
Yes. Okay. Net neutrality is pretty much the idea that all internet traffic should be treated equally, right? With no internet service provider, right, or ISP having the power to favor one source over another by blocking or throttling or having to pay, right? So it's critical in just trying to help the internet or ISPs play as a team. Everybody is equal. Everybody plays the same. Now, in doing that, it's going to cost a lot of companies a lot of money, considering that you have to pay for their content. You have to go on their website. You have to pay for their content if you want it. So a lot of people are hoping that net neutrality gets shot down, while some are hoping that it will work to their advantage to have net neutrality, right? Now, as far as with Byron Allen and how it goes for him, you know, Byron's hoping for net neutrality, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I think he's against it, but I mean,
yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's against net neutrality. Yeah, because it's going to hurt him. It's going to net neutrality. There you go. It's going to hurt him to for net neutrality because it's going to hurt his pockets. You know, because with Byron, when you go to some of his websites for information, you have to pay for it. If you want it, you have to pay for it. So net neutrality would take that away from him. They would be able to access his websites, get information, and not pay anything.
Okay, but
it's going to hurt capitalists. It's going to hurt those who are capitalists.
Okay, so let's go to so since Byron Allen is like a centerpiece of this discussion today, let's talk about, you know, one of his properties that he's on the net. And it's
right.
called the Griot.
Right.
People pay for that?
Right. People pay for certain information on the Griot. I mean, you can go to the Griot and you can read whatever is up there. But if you want, like, information, you're looking for extra information, say there's a story and it says, okay, for more, click here. Okay, you click
right
there, you're going to have to pay to get that extra information if you want it on some of those stories.
Right.
So that's how he, that's a lot of the ways of how he makes his money.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk Byron Allen, because this subject came up to me is because of what he was saying about the Supreme Court decision that's coming up on net neutrality later on this month. Can
right
you inform us what that is about and what's all that about? With the Supreme Court rolling back, going back to the first civil rights bill and all that. How does that figure
yeah
into the net neutrality, and what is he trying to say?
Well, Byron, you know, he's got a battle going on with Comcast, and it was taken up by the Supreme Court, who then passed it back down because the Supreme Court, Byron's case is so winnable, it's ridiculous. But what Byron is doing is he's trying to basically use the Civil Rights Act of 1866 as a tool to help him propel him to victory. The problem with what Byron is doing is in 1866, we weren't necessarily considered citizens. The Civil Rights Act of 1866 was one of the first Reconstruction laws, right? Okay, now who did Reconstruction benefit? He's under the assumption that we were all slaves in 1866. But okay, here's the Civil Rights Act. Okay, it says it's mainly intended in the wake of the American Civil War to protect the rights of persons of African descent born in or bought to the United States. Well, clearly that doesn't apply to us. We weren't bought in from Africa, and we're not of African descent. Who was bought in to the United States, and who are African descent? Your Niger people, a.k.a. Caucasians, a.k.a. white folks, because a lot of them were slaves at that particular time. That's where he's going to get rammed at. He's going to get – and they're going to break it down to him. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they won't break it down to him, because if he's stupid enough to take this up to them, you know, the civil rights act of 1866, they're just going to let him flop. But it does not apply to us at all. And the 14th Amendment didn't even come around until 1868. So it doesn't apply. It's all in the wording, and that's what we don't get, and we don't tend to understand. It's all in the wording. Everything is in the wording. Now, clearly, you know, we were called Negroes at that time, and they weren't even using the term of African descent to describe us up until the 1840s or something like that, 1830s, 1840s. So that's when they started putting the fix in of trying to basically identify us as foreigners. But you and I both know that we were not foreigners. We were not bought in from Africa. We are not of African descent. They were basically helping those Caucasians who were indentured slaves and indentured servants, because that's mainly who were slaves at the time, white folks.
Right. So Byron Allen, so how did he get to be the forefront of this whole movement? Who is
he? You know,
he?
That's a good question. I have done my homework on Byron Allen, and you don't get much about him, about his history. It's kind of like, you know, there's nothing that you know that his mom used to work at NBC Studios, right? She was a publicist, but that's really all you know. You know that they tell us he got into comedy at like 14. They say that Jimmy Walker discovered him, and all of a sudden at 14 now, he's writing with Jay Leno and David Letterman, okay, for the Tonight Show, okay? I mean, at 18, he's on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Now, I don't know of anybody who knows of Byron Allen that says he was actually funny. Now, I first checked him on Real People back in the day. That was about 1980, 1981, something of that nature, and he wasn't very funny then either. So I don't know much about Byron Allen. I do know that there ain't very many Negroes named Allen, and the ones that do have Jewish ancestry. And his wife is also Jewish. She's a Lucas, and more than likely related to George Lucas.
So do you think these cats, I know you know, these are put in positions to further the agenda of what these people are doing?
Yes. Yes.
And
yes,
and could it be that he's one of those plants?
I believe he is, because you have to have the illusion that some of us are movers and shakers and that we are, you know, out here handling our business. And there are some of us out here that are movers and shakers and are handling our business, but we don't really know of them. We don't really know. They keep a very low profile. What Byron is doing, and the things that he's done, acquiring the various TV stations, the Weather Channel, things of this nature. Okay, you wonder, okay, how did he come up with the capital? First off, because I got how he made a lot of his money. He would make content. He would give it to networks or stations for free. Okay, if they decided they liked those shows, they would then, in turn, pay for those shows down the line. Okay, and that, it worked, particularly overseas. He did very well overseas. But his shows are crappy.
So that's what I mean. How is this cat making all this money? Because I don't remember seeing nothing of him. I think we were talking last night about a movie he put out called Meet the Blacks.
Yeah, Meet the Blacks.
That shit was worse than Airplane. I just looked at the first 5 minutes. I was like, you got to be kidding. So if this cat is putting, and this is some of the recent content that he's put out. So if this cat is putting out this content, what kind of advertisers are paying for him to get $300 million to buy the Weather Channel? And when you have people like Chappelle, when you have people like Ice Cube, when you have people like, when you have all these so-called billionaires that is not even doing what he's doing.
And keep in mind, Bill Cosby tried to buy NBC 3 times. He needed help. He had to have silent partners to do it as well. And Bill's worth about, what, $400 million? Bill's been in the game since the 60s, and he's only worth $400 million. So how does this guy acquire $350 million to buy the Weather Channel or acquire another $200 million to buy the 11 TV stations that he just bought?
Yeah. See, and this is why I ask: is this cat? What is this? Because to me, it's like one of them same old stories again. You know, we're getting led somewhere because we're
right.
thinking. Because that's all we think about when we see it. When we hear $200 and $300 million, we think, oh, he paid. He gonna do something for us, and that never works out that way. And I think this is where this is going.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. I think this is and clearly there's no generational wealth that's going to be had here because he's married to a white woman, and of course, 9 times out of 10 the money goes to her and her family, and 9 times out of 10 she had more money than he did anyway, which is one of the reasons why he married her. But from all accounts, he's always been pretty much involved with more white people than anything else.
So that's why I say it's kind of confusing to the indigenous community, because he's given this illusion that he has this going on, but the reality is it's not like that.
Right. Right.
So let's put him on hold for a minute and let's talk about this Supreme Court decision. Now they're bringing in, I hear Donald Trump is bringing in his Department of Justice with Comcast to fight against this dude. What does the Comcast do? Because I hear everybody now, and I see that everybody has this thing called the Fire Stick. How
right.
would that, how does that play into everything?
Well, his lawsuit against is $20 billion. It's a racial discrimination lawsuit that he's got against Comcast, because Comcast will not pick up his content at all, right? They will not. They are excluding
right.
him
right.
from showing his stuff on, you know, on Comcast, and he's basically
mm-hmm.
filing for racial discrimination and the fact that they won't. Okay, and he's got a lot of content, as we all know now, good or not. You know, whatever, but he's got a lot of it. So the decision, again, it went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court kicked it back because, you know, they basically didn't want any parts of it and told them, okay, look, you guys handle this. We, you know, this ain't even in our realm, primarily because, one, he's got a winnable case and you guys need to handle it where you're having this lawsuit filed at. Okay. Now, in doing this, the NAACP has jumped ship on him. So has the Black Caucus. They've jumped ship
yeah.
on him as well. He's getting no support from either one of them, which makes you wonder, because we know who controls both, the NAACP and the Black Caucus. We know who the Jews control them. So the fact that they're jumping ship and they're not supporting him would give one the belief that what he's doing is right. And in a way, what he's doing is right, okay, because there are a lot of other people out here who have crappy content that Comcast picks up. So they're basically what Comcast is saying is, you've got too much juice, you've got too much power, and we're going to totally ignore you because we can and because we're bigger than you. But the problem is that it's a clear-cut case of open discrimination. Now, the problem with Barron is he's trying to use the whole African-American angle to get in, minority angle to get in. That won't get him through the door. You've got an open, clear-cut case of discrimination. Don't play the minority angle, because basically what you're doing is you're asking for help being a minority. If
right.
you play the human rights angle, you'll more than likely win. Now, we know Byron don't know anything close to him being an engine. We know that. That's just
yeah.
out the door. Indigenous, Byron, forget about it. But I get what he's trying to do, but it sets a bad precedent also, because other people will come behind Byron and they'll play that same card and they're going to lose. They're going to lose for playing that same card. They're going to lose for playing the African-American minority, we were ex-slaves role. They're going to lose badly.
Right. So what do you think will happen if he flipped it up and saying that we're the indigenous people to this land, you corporations are coming over here and trying to control what we see and trying to control our content? Do you think he'd have a better chance? Or
yes.
or let me just say this, because we got to be real with this,
Or is it just that these people are like, look, you niggas are our slaves, and that's the way it's going to be?
I hear you.
Because you have a lot of stations. I'm seeing they have stations like Hulu, YouTube TV. There's all kind of other mediums that content can be placed on and shown. And it seems like, you know, the so-called, and maybe this is a job, and this is why I'm saying this is what we're trying to do. We got to have our own shit, y'all. We can't rely on and beg people to and support other people. And this is what the so-called African-American is known for, supporting those that don't support him.
Yeah.
And with all these Hulu, and I can go down the line. Wouldn't it make better sense if we got in that, we went that route?
Yeah, we would, actually. And if Byron was smart, he would have already, with the money that he allegedly has, he could have already created an online network that would take a lot of his content. Now, he's complaining mainly because with Comcast, they're selling out about $25 billion annually, right, on channel licensing. But they only kick out about $3 million in what is considered 100% African-American-owned media. So you're talking, what, Aspire, Magic's channel, Magic and a few others. BET doesn't count because BET is owned by Viacom, so they don't count anymore. So you're talking Aspire and a few other 100% owned African-American media outlets out there. So he wants a bigger piece of the pie, and he wants them to take his stations that he have. He wants them to accept his stations. Well, Byron could have done this on his own. He could have basically created a forum where people could go in one place to check out his content. Okay, now he will scream net neutrality because, you know, and against net neutrality because that happens, that he won't be able to charge them, the people who go to his website for his content. But there are ways around that as well. The net neutrality isn't going to affect people as much as you think, particularly the companies and corporations, because they're going to find loopholes. Byron himself could have found a loophole. So him going to Comcast and begging them to accept his channels or his stations is a waste of time. Now, granted, he has a clear-cut case. He does have a case. But at the same time, the precedents that he's using, the Civil Rights Act of 1866, and I'm quite sure he's going to try to use the Civil Rights Act of 1875 too, but they won't work for him. And you're right. We need to have our own. And you would think, as an entrepreneur, as he is called, you would think that he would have thought this out before trying to sue a giant like Comcast, you know, in terms of a financial giant, rather than get out here and do whatever he could do on his own. Get out here and man, we got too many innovative people out here on the web. Hell, there would be no web if it wasn't for us. There would be no World Wide Web, let alone the internet, if it wasn't for us. So how is it that he couldn't get out here and create content, online content, where people can go? I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Okay, you remember Hall & Oates, right?
Yes.
Hall & Oates, Daryl Hall. Daryl Hall, basically for the last maybe 10 years, he's got a website called Daryl's House. Okay, every Friday, he will give a live performance. Every Friday with musical guests, right? Whether he's got John Oates with him, whether he's got, you know, a legendary artist coming on with him like Smokey Robinson or whoever. Okay, every Friday you go to his website, you get a free, well, you get a live show. You have to pay for the live show, however, okay, to see the live show. But this is, we're talking Daryl Hall, Hall & Oates. People pay, and he makes a killing every Friday. So you can see his live performance.
Right.
And he's one of the few people that were doing it. Prince was starting to get into that before he was killed, but Daryl Hall was alone in doing that for the longest time. No one else ever bothered to even think about it. And they're still not doing it now.
Okay, so when we talk about content, you know, the type of content that's being put out, what kind of content does Byron Allen put out? I mean, what kind of content is it? I know you can put out whatever you want to get viewers, but what kind of content is he putting out?
Well, a lot of what he was putting out was a lot of the interviews and stuff that he did from back in the day. That's the one that's the platform that he used early on. What was it called? He used to interview athletes and entertainers, and he basically was putting that content out for free for networks to pick up. The content would come on from anywhere from midnight to about 6 a.m., right? And so he developed a pretty good time slot in those times. They would pick up his content. They would pay him for the content, okay? And for anywhere from midnight to about maybe 6 a.m., you could check out Byron Allen interviewing Magic Johnson or Arsenio Hall or whoever. That's the bulk of his stuff. The bulk of his stuff involves him. It involves him interviewing people. It involves him, you know, being in different cities, different, you know, places. That's the bulk of his content. Now, some other content he has, those like little reality, like TV shows or whatever. But again, it's all crappy. It's just crappy stuff. So that's why he's been bigger, more overseas than he has been here in the States. Because they'll accept his crappy stuff overseas because he's a Negro doing a show. Whereas here, he's one of many. Tom Joyner used to have the same thing. Quite a few other people did as well. So it's nothing new here.
So you know when you don't have cable TV, you everybody gets that antenna.
Right.
Put on there. You know, now it's a so-called black channel on there. I forget the name of it, but I mean every business I go into around this, they're on that channel. What is that? It's called like Centric TV or something. I mean they show old Soul Trains. They show a lot of old movies. What is that station or what is that platform called?
Centric. Centric is if it's Centric, that's an offshoot.
Centric.
That's an offshoot of BET.
That channel is
an offshoot of BET. It's one of the BET. Basically, they created three channels or three offshoots, and Centric TV was one of them.
Because that's crappy content if I've ever seen it.
Yeah. And it was even crappier at one point. So, you know, it was worse than that at one point for Centric. Centric actually went under, and Viacom put more money into it and bought it back.
Because that's what I wanted to know, this net neutrality. I mean, I'm saying, isn't there a way as indigenous people we have? I mean, there's part of the airways open to us, and this is why I figured we have to be, you know, we have to get with these programs that help us coming under that umbrella of indigenousness. Because I think going under this African American, this minority, this we always lose, that's not helping us at all.
No. It's not. It's not helping us at all. Okay, now here's some of the shows. Okay. This is some of the shows. Okay, he's got America's Court with Judge Ross. We Are the People with Gloria Allred. Okay. You know how that one goes. Comics Unleashed. Comedy TV, Beautiful Homes, Great Estates, Pets TV, Recipe TV, Career Day, The Young Icon, stuff like that really doesn't have any value whatsoever. It's just flighty, flighty stuff. He's got a weekly primetime sitcom that he started out in 2012, The First Family and Mr. Box Office. Have you ever heard of any of those shows?
Never.
Exactly. And those shows more go overseas, particularly big. He's really big in Australia. I know that. Okay, and he's big in certain parts of Europe. I know that as well. But here, I've never heard of hardly any of these shows other than We the People with Gloria Allred, because we know that that was on Court TV at one time.
So this is how he made his millions with this type of content.
Yes.
So if that kind of – who's paying for that type of content? I mean, because if everything – if this whole media thing is a worldwide thing, who's paying for that content? And how do you and how do you make a half a billion dollars on content like that if nobody's watching?
You don't. You don't.
And this is
so
and this,
something,
and this is what
something's
I,
not quite right.
And this is all I'm saying to the audience. These type of people that are put in front of us, I think we should look deeper into what's being told to us, because this is what opened my eyes about Byron Allen. Because I didn't even know he was married to a white girl, because he's not on my radar like that. But he was talking about his daughters, and he was talking about how he doesn't, as black women, these are his words, He doesn't want somebody to control the images of his black daughter. And I was like, let me see what their mother looks like. And I pull up their mother, and she's Marsha Brady times 100. So you don't have black daughters, you have white daughters. And for people and for brothers to believe that you have a kid with another woman, that kid belongs to the mother.
Right.
The so-called African-American man is the only person who doesn't believe that. The African-American man believes that he is the source of life. Ask them.
Yeah.
They'll tell you.
I don't get it. I don't get it, because we know that there's a such thing as a Yoniverse, right? We know that.
Yes.
I ain't never heard of a penis verse, and if there is one, I damn sure don't want to go there.
Right. And so you can see that's what's being made now. And, you know, I mean, it's upside down, man. Everything is upside down. You know, it's speaking about, you know, the media content with this cat is putting out. I'm seeing all the stories, all the news bits, all the stories, all the memes are about these men who undergone sex change operation so they can compete in women's sports. What?
Yep. And are beating the hell out of those women. It's going to come down to, particularly in MMA, in boxing, it's going to come down to one of these days, you're going to see one of these men, all right? I call them dudes with tits, because that's what they are. I don't even say chicks with tits, because they ain't chicks. Dudes with tits.
Right.
It's going to come down to one of them beating a woman to death in the ring. You've already had it where they've had some situations where they literally rearranged that woman's face, you know, because at the end of the day, he's still a man in that ring fighting a woman.
I don't understand why women even participate. That's what gets me. And these are the same ones that are cussing me out of saying some stuff that they don't. I'm like, why would you step into a ring with a man? Is that the power society is giving them, thinking that they can beat a man?
Good question. I don't know, but they learned their lessons usually from that. Quite a few of them have. Hey, getting back to Byron Allen, what tips me off here is you can't find anything else about his family history at all, other than his mother worked at Bird, you know, at NBC Studios. Is that's all they tell you, okay? That's it. So that means that they're hiding something. That means that they don't want you to know his ancestry. And of course, we know that we have a lot of Negro Jewish people who are Jewish descent that are out here that we cheer for. Drake is one. We ain't even going to talk about Juicy Smollett. He's one. John Legend's one. Diana Ross's kid, the one who's on Blackish. I can't think of her name right now. Tracy Ellis Ross, Jewish. Minnie Riperton's kids, Jewish. We could go on and on. Tupac, Jewish, all right, had Jewish ancestry as well. So it seems to me, Tiffany Haddish, Jewish. What's your rapper that got allegedly shot down in L.A.? Can't think of his name right now. Jewish.
Right.
We can go on and on of a lot of these people who look like us but are not us.
Right.
Are not us. Affronting right. us but are not us. They claim their Jewish ancestry first and foremost. And I do believe Allen might be one of those people.
Let me ask you a question, because you just said something that, you know, I'm sure flies over a lot of people's head. Byron Allen, since there is no mention of his mother, since there's no mention of his family,
mention of his father.
Could his mother be a Jewish chick?
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. I mean, we don't even know her name. So now you got me curious, and I'm going to have to start digging to find who his mother and father were. Because, again, they only... His early life and education on Google, right on Wiki, is only two sentences. That's it.
Yeah.
Allen's
well, look, man.
Show business began during his childhood. That's it.
Yeah.
That's how
it yeah, cause, yeah. Yeah. It's just something about this whole thing to me. It seems like the so-called African-American community is being led to a path that when they get there, they're going to be pissed off at the results. Yeah,
yes,
we got a phone.
Yes.
We got a caller calling in right now. Area code 901. Welcome to African-Americans Ain't Africans. Did you have a question or a comment? Area code 901. Okay. Not saying anything. What do you think this path is going?
Well, he didn't bring up the Civil Rights Act of 1866 out of just nowhere. I think what they're doing is they're trying to is you. I think it all ties in with what we're seeing with the Harriet Tubman movie. I think all the slave epics that you've been seeing. All the, you know, the Underground Railroad TV show, all this stuff that's been going out. All right. They're trying to do roots again. All this stuff that you see, they are trying to keep us in the frame of mind of being ex-slaves. When in reality, okay, I'm not saying or suggesting that some of us were not slaves. We were, clearly. Okay. But overall, across the board, it went like this. You had your slave, right? Who was more than likely Caucasian. You had your indentured servant who saw over that slave, and more than likely he was a Negro or she was a Negro. Okay, and then you had your slave owner. Now, have you ever been at a job where you're running things at that job? You don't have the title of being a supervisor or whatever, but without you, that job would fall apart. I have. And in a lot of these situations, what happened is a lot of the indentured servants, when their time was up, you had your slave masters or your employers who started abusing that, meaning telling them they wouldn't honor that their time was up. You got to stay another 5 years. And he wanted them to stay another 5 years because without him, his business goes.
Right.
Because he's the middle, he or she is the middle man or woman, and they are running things.
Right.
And a lot of the times the employer, because it wasn't, really wasn't a slave master as much as it was an employer, because a lot of those indentured servants didn't even live on that farm. They lived in their own home.
Right.
They came to work every day, kind of like what we do now, contract bond slavery.
Yes.
Okay, so they stopped honoring, they stopped honoring the time limit. Now, and keep in mind, we were indentured servants even when we were prisoners of war as Indians. We wouldn't become just slaves to perpetuity. In some situations, yes. But in a lot of situations, we were forced to have to be indentured servitude for 7 years. And the reason for 7 years is because we had to teach these crackers the land. They didn't know the land. They didn't know how to farm. They didn't know anything about how to. They're used to raiding and pillaging people. They are not used to farming and growing their own food. So what Myers is doing, in essence, is he's taking us back to this whole time of us being slavery. What? You never heard about the Civil Rights Act of 1866? Let me tell you guys, this isn't blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't mean shit to us because Negroes at the time were not citizens in 1866. The 14th Amendment came around in 1868, and even then we still weren't citizens, and it did not apply to us. It didn't apply to us at all. What it did, starting with the Homestead Act of 1860, was it started the process, and then, of course, consequently, the Civil Rights, the Civil War started 1 year after the Homestead Act in 1861. It started the process of making these indentured servants and white slaves citizens. It started granting them a privilege. You see what I'm saying? Because giving them something they never had before, privilege. Privilege over us. Because we were in purgatory going from having sovereign status of being Indians to now being Negroes. Well, we are second class to our original status now. So
right,
he's going
see,
back with this. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, because the reason I ask, because it seems, and you hit it, the head on the nail on the head with it, because it seems like he cares about the people, but his rhetoric says otherwise.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it's all in words. And a guy like Byron understands wording better than anybody, as many contracts as he's read and created.
Right. Now you mentioned the film Harriet Tubman. And what I'm seeing now on social media is I'm seeing more thumbs down than thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah.
About the movie at Harriet Tubman. Now I'm not into the cinema or the movie or Black Hollywood like that. You know, I just hear stories about it. And when I hear stories about it, it's normally, you know, what I thought, you know, just the same old stuff being played. But it's kind of like the movie Black Panther. We went crazy over that. And I don't think we got it. We didn't understand that. And it's the same with Harriet, this movie, Harriet Tubman. I hear they have an African woman. This is an insult. They have an African woman playing Harriet Tubman.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know an African woman who's made disparaging comments about Amerindians. She's made quite a few disparaging comments about us, but yet she's playing Harriet Tubman.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is all our take? What are your opinion as indigenous people? You know, and that's why we're having this program. So we got to get people. You got to think outside of that box that you're trapped in, because many of us, we don't even understand. Our thoughts aren't even organic. We don't think
no,
for ourselves
not.
At all. We wait for one of these, like that's why we're bringing up this Byron Allen. That's why we're bringing up this movie here. People will donate an ideology to you, and we take it and run like it's something that we invented ourselves.
Yep. Have you noticed the trend? Your movies like Harriet, your movies like what was the civil rights the boycott, well not boycott, but protest one that they did a few years back. That one flopped. All these movies are flopping. People don't have an interest in them. They're shoving them down our throats, but we don't have an interest. I told people in 2017 about Black Panther. I told you in 2018. What you're going to find out about Black Panther, you're going to find out how many Negroes there are in America. You're going to find out there's far, far more than 40 million of you, because that movie was going to go over the billion-dollar mark, because we were going to run out there and support it with our Wakanda Forever outfits on, beating bongos and all types of shit, which is exactly what I saw when I went to go see the movie, right?
Right.
If nothing else, that movie would show you the number of people of us that there are here in America in our home. And it did, because white folks did not go see Black Panther initially. They were not going to give it. They know that the lifeblood of a movie is its first week, how much it grosses in its first week, right? So they didn't go. White folks started going to see it when it died down and they wanted to see what the noise was all about. That's what they do. They don't run out for our movies like that, like we do to theirs. They wait. They sit back in the cut, and then it gets to them where they say, okay, I got to find out what this movie's about. Then they'll go see it. And they'll go see the matinee one, you know, on a Thursday somewhere where you don't know they're there.
Right.
That's how they roll. So with the Harriet movie and with the movies that you're seeing, they're not making any money. Freedom Road, I think the other one was. Freedom Road, you know, a horrible, garbage movie. They're not going to make any money on these movies because people are waking up. First off, there was no person named Harriet Tubman. And even in the movie, she took on Harriet Tubman as a spy name, if you will. Harriet Tubman is basically comprised of three different women. All of them were spies. None of them were necessarily dark-skinned. They were all actually kind of mulatto-sized women who were basically spying for the Union. That's what they were doing. And secondly, with this Underground Railroad shit, how much sense does it make to go all the way up to Canada when Florida was a free fucking state? All you had to do was go to Florida. That's all you had to do. If you got an Underground Railroad, you're going there. You're not going all the way to Canada. That makes no sense. Unless the people that you are hiding are Caucasians.
Right,
now, that makes more sense.
That's why I'm glad you're here. That's why I'm glad you're here. Because it gets people to – what you just said just gets people to thinking, why would Negroes – go up north where it's freezing cold to Canada where it's freezing cold and we're southern people? I didn't get that.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. Where are we being led? Because we can be told shit, man, and it's like, damn, it don't make a bit of sense. And Florida, everybody runs to Florida and to the Caribbean, and Florida has that Caribbean.
Ain't Florida Jewish heaven? What do they do? What do white folks do? When they get old, they run down to Florida, right? They run to retire to the warm to the warm waters, you know, warm sun, sandy beaches. Okay, so why in the world would Negroes who are slaves go all the way up to Canada? They're being held, you know, they're being taken in by these white families, you know, these Quakers or whatever. Okay, that makes no sense. When everybody knew back then that Florida is a free state, there was no slavery going on in Florida as we knew it back then, right? So why would they do that? Unless, of course, the people that you are harboring and that you are bringing along the lines or bringing up the lines of northward are Caucasian, are white folks.
Yeah, man, I'm totally with you. It never makes sense to me. And, you know, and I talk to people and they're like, oh, well, that's what it says. And this is what I mean about the African-American doesn't think. Anything they put out, we jump on it like it's the God's honest truth. And it makes no sense if you think about it.
None. And see, the deal here is this. Okay, it's thinking is key, is vital here because it's like a puzzle. Our history is just, we've been told history in reverse. So what we have to do is break up the puzzle and then we have to put it back together again. We have to turn the puzzle over. You ever had a puzzle and you turned it over and you put it together on the opposite side? Well, that's what we have to do. And that's your history. So when you start asking questions, you'll get the answers, which will lead to more questions, which will lead to more answers. And so a lot of the stuff that they told us just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. Okay, it's like 12 Years of Slavery. I finally saw that movie. I read the book back in the day, but I saw the movie. Okay, you had a sister out there. She was producing about 50 bales of cotton a day. And for her reward, she gets beaten? Look, let me tell you something right now. That is like Michael Jordan getting out there and scoring 45, and then Phil Jackson after the game beats the hell out of him to the point where, you know, he's just humiliated. You think Mike's going out the next night and put up 40? Fuck no. He knows what's worth. He knows exactly what the fuck his worth is. And there ain't no way that a sister who's out here who can bail more cotton than anybody else will get a beating from that slave owner. That slave owner would be the dumbest motherfucker walking, Terry. It wouldn't make any sense. You just killed your money. You just killed your production. So how much sense does that make? It doesn't make sense because I doubt that it ever happened that way. Not on the regular, not what they're telling us. Not from what they're telling us. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. As a matter of fact, that sister out there who was bailing that cotton wasn't a slave, actually. She was a contract bond worker, more than likely. Or it was their property to begin with. Again, we're the ones who created greenbacks. We're the ones that created the money. The Confederate States created greenbacks and backed it against gold. So the current currency system that we have now, we created it. White folks always dealt in coins. I don't care if the coin was, it don't matter. Coin could be plastic, don't matter. They've always dealt in coins. So we created greenbacks.
And if you want more proof of that, all you have to do, check out a book called Confederate Currency, The Color of Money.
Yep.
It will
yep.
blow you away.
Yep. Yep. And created the banking, the modern banking systems as well. We created the forget the sister's name, but she created the modern banking system that they have now taken and just run away with. Just run away
And this is what we try to push at African Americans Ain't Africa. What this brother's telling you, this is simple. He lives in the state where the Bank of America is. He deals in the state where gold was first discovered. This is North Carolina, tobacco.
Yeah.
I mean, you can name it, furniture.
Yeah.
The first
gold rush here.
Yeah. And this is what I'm saying. This is why we can't let people like Byron Allen or none of these cats come up and tell you that you're from overseas somewhere, because that already puts you in the negative. That already puts you in a situation you can't win, because you're letting other people tell you who you are. You're letting other people write stories about people somewhere else, and you're taking on those identities. That puts you in a very precarious situation where you can't even stand up for yourself. And to me, that's what it sounds like this whole Byron Allen African-American thing is doing. Africans don't have no rights here over you unless you give it to them, unless you give it to everybody. And that's what it seems like everybody's doing. We're just co-asking for everybody. Whatever they want to do, we're cool with it. We don't have nothing to say because we don't think we belong here. Or we don't think this is ours. And
when in reality, it's quite the opposite.
It's quite the opposite. And your kids are going to be pissed off at you because you keep looking the other way while everything is happening right in your face. Everything is happening right in your face. And we are like, oh, no, I don't know. We came over here on a slave ship. For real, dude? Where are the slave ships? They all sank. This one brother told me they burned them all up. I'm like, why? Why would you burn up? You want to set a precedent. You want to let these people know that we bought you here, we own you, because we love to. One of the things that these people like to do, they love to show their conquest. They love to bring, or they say, King Tut's tomb all over the world to show the people all over the world. We can go in this country, dig up their ancestors, and bring them all over the world. And there's not one slave ship, and you haven't asked about it. You just believe it because they say it. That's why we bring this type of information, y'all. We got to start thinking.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's imperative.
It's imperative. So, Gabe. Lad, give us some going away, some parting gifts, man. What this net neutrality thing, and one of my thing is, one of the things we have to do is people, we have to start thinking for ourselves, how are we going to navigate our way through this? And it's like Neely Fuller say, we're going to have to start creating some justice. And if we're going to create justice, we're going to have to be some just people. So, in closing, Gabe, what would you say? What kind of information would you give to somebody that's listening to this? What would you tell them?
I would tell them quite simply to do as much research as you can. If you really believe that you came over here, you know, packed away like sardines on a ship for three month sail to be somebody's pet, then you're sadly mistaken. Your heritage is right in front of you. All you have to do is look and see it. That's why people right now, Kerry, are flipping out about the Watchmen. You know why? Because the Watchmen, they're obligated to tell you history. They're obligated to tell you truth. They do it in the form of entertainment, which is why entertainment is making so much money and why we need to jump in there as well. And also because they're obligated to tell you certain truths. It's just that they can tell you in a certain way. White people right now are going batshit over the Watchmen right now because it's telling you certain truths. It is aligning our indigenous history, you know, with our history. And that's scaring the shit out of some white folks. Scaring some Negroes, too. Scaring them, too, to be honest with you, especially those comfortable Negroes. You know,
can you explain The Watchmen for those of us that don't know?
The Watchmen is it's a series on HBO right now that is an offshoot of a comic book that came out. It was a graphic novel, really, that came out in the 80s. And basically the characters are anti-heroes. And so what they've done is they've taken it to an alternate Earth or alternate universe where in this situation – we got reparations for being, you know, for slavery, being mistreated, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so the police actually wear masks because they were targeted and hunted by those white bigots mainly who want to keep things the way they were. Okay, in the very first scene in The Watchmen, they're showing you the Tulsa takeover, and they're showing you the planes in the air shooting down people and bombing people. All right, and it's really, really graphic because what you read, you now see, and they're showing it to you right here now, okay? Also, they're tying in the KKK ties and their fights with indigenous Amerindians out in the West. They're tying all of this stuff in, all of it. So it's scaring people because it's making them look at something they don't want to look at, and that is the racial structure in America today. A lot of us want to believe we live in a post-racial society, and we do not.
You're absolutely right about that. And I always say about the Tulsa, Oklahoma thing, and not just Tulsa, because it happened in many cities around here. They were killing those economies because if you didn't buy from each other, you would buy from them.
Well, not only that, Kerry, not only us, it's just one sec. Not only that, but they were buying from us as well.
Right.
When do you think they were going to go and eat their food? They're going to have to come to outside to eat. What do you think that they were going to have to go to get their mail? We pretty much created the post office, the modern post office, as we know it today.
Right.
So everything that they had to do, they had to rely and depend on us. Yet here there is. They got their 40 acres and, you know, their mule with the homestead at. They got land. They can't farm it. They don't know how to. So they're depending on us for everything. And that pissed them off. All across the country, and starting in Wilmington, North Carolina in 1898 when they brought in the National Guard to take over Wilmington, to take over the shipping, to take over the fishing industry, to take over the cotton industry, to take over tobacco, to take over all those things in that county.
Gabriel Rich. Hey, man, I want to have you back soon, man, because you stir up a lot of, you know, what people are thinking, but they're afraid to talk about. And I appreciate you for being on today.
Glad to be here, bro, as always.
All right, man. Thank you. Well, listen, this is another edition of African Americans Ain't Africans. And look, and all we're trying to do is say, listen, are we going out like other people dictate the way we go out? Or are we going to stand up and make our presence felt on our own land? I'm Buck Wyland, the Indigenous One. Have a good Sunday.